Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. Today in the show, we're going to talk a little about seed treatments, soybeans in particular, but seed treatments really are for all crops, so we'll get into that as we go throughout the show. If you've got a question for us or if there's anything you'd like to talk about today, it's 844-44-AG-PHD to give us a call. Again, that number is 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com. We're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag just shortly here. And you can also find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. All right, so when we start talking about seed treatments in general, and I don't care what crop it is, but I think there's a big misnomer here because there are a lot of people out there that think, well, it's basically just to help get the seed out of the ground and to protect the seed. And while that part is true, for the most part, many of these seed treatments are going to last very long, some even season long, but a lot of times we talk about 1 to 2 months effective control out of some of these seed treatment products. So typically when we talk seed treatments in any crop, the first two things that we're going to bring up are fungicides and insecticide. There is one chemical family for insecticide out there. That's it. It's the neonics. If we lose that, we've got nothing. So that worries me quite a bit. But anyway, there's only one. And in terms of that insecticide, it's the neonic family. It is relatively safe to humans and animals. No big issue with that. It's a very long-lasting, systemic, cheap, effective on a lot of different insects. So it's a great solution for most farmers out there. When you talk fungicides, there are so many new fungicides that have come onto the market here in the last few years that almost every seed company out there and almost every seed dealer, it seems like, is going to have a little different mix. And that's fine. You just kind of have to look at what are the active ingredients, what are the chemical families that those things are in. And I guess I just in general say kind of look for some of the newer products especially. But like on our soybeans or our corn, we are getting three different modes of action, three different chemical families. And in some cases, it might be four or five different insecticides, but only three chemical families. But there are several different chemical families out there for fungicides. And the nice thing, I know, like with all the fungicides we're using on our farm on corn and beans, they're systemic. So not only do we have protection on the seed, we have protection on the young seedling and well into the early growing stages in that plant. So like with soybeans, for example, they are very susceptible to diseases like Pythium, Rhizoctonia, Phytophthora that you could see early in the season. You could also see it mid-season. Well, if you have your seed treated, you typically are going to see a lot less of those diseases, even mid-season. Even if stuff was to come in a little bit later, you're going to have a lot fewer problems. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that I would say, where most people believe one thing and it's actually the opposite. It's like, no, these treatments last a long time. You can visually see it even late in the year, which had seed treatment, which plants did not. So those are the two big things, insecticide and fungicide. Then you get to some of the biologicals, or as we call them, natural products. And both in corn and in soybeans, like on our farm, or when we plant wheat or rye or just about any crop, we are going to have some biologicals or naturals on that seed. With soybeans and any legume crop, you're looking for inoculant. And that is tremendously important because we want to get as much nitrogen fixing ability out of that plant as possible. So it's very common to just assume, well, soybeans are going to produce all their own nitrogen. No, that is not true. They absolutely will not ever produce all their own nitrogen. They're going to need some from the soil. They're going to need potentially even some that's applied. And by the way, when we talk about some from the soil, a lot of people will run tests and they'll go, well, there's only 10 pounds left here from my corn last year. How can it possibly get it out of the soil? Well, how it gets it out of the soil is organic matter mineralization. As mineralization of your soil's organic matter occurs during the course of the growing season, more nitrogen is released. That's awesome. We usually figure on our farm at least 20 pounds for every percent of organic matter. A lot of our soils are 3 to 5% organic matter, so that means we're getting four free every year, 60 to 100 pounds. That's awesome. So that's where some of the nitrogen is going to come from your soybeans or for your soybeans or any legume crop. But the whole thing is with Rhizobia bacteria, what they do is they can take atmospheric nitrogen and convert it into a plant that they're into a form the plant can use. Again, this is for almost any legume crop out there. Well, by adding more of the best strains of Rhizobia bacteria, you can get more of that conversion from atmospheric nitrogen into that form the plant can use. And typically, inoculants only cost a dollar or two an acre. We recommend them all the time in all situations, even if you're beans on beans. I don't care. Use inoculant. It's dirt cheap. And there have been a lot of studies out there showing, hey, we're going to have extra nitrogen even going into the next year. Well, how many pounds of nitrogen does it take to pay for $1 worth of inoculant? Not many. Anyway, on top of that, there are a lot of newer, different biologicals, naturals, a lot of different companies out there selling them. We found some that work very well for us that we talked to a lot of farmers about. And it's everything from nutrient solubilization to maybe even a little activity on some nematodes. I mean, there are many things that these biologicals can do. What we commonly find very early in the season, what I like the most, I would say, is that we have found some combinations that we use where we can pop seed out of the ground faster. So a lot of times we're getting 20% faster emergence. Now, that might not be a big deal to somebody in the southern United States, but to somebody in Canada or as far north in the United States as we farm, that's a huge deal. We want to pop that seed out of the ground faster so we get started in terms of running that clock to maturity. And for a lot of you out there, you know what I'm talking about. Last year was tough. We want to get the crop finished, and we want as high a yield as possible. So anyway, we'll talk about seed treatments all throughout the show today, and we will get to your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag. That's all coming up here on Ag PhD Radio.
Challenging field conditions often make harvest difficult. Can your corn head handle it? The GTS X10 corn head from Agra US is a rugged, cost-effective alternative to heavier, more traditional heads. Constructed of durable yet lightweight aluminum, the X10 puts less strain on your combine without losing harvest effectiveness. And it is 40% lighter than traditional heads, reducing field compaction in those less than ideal conditions. For more information, give us a call at 833-4-AGRA-US.
Imagine the perfect flow of grain from the field to the bin. Imagine a single rotor that ensures both quality and productivity. An advanced system that optimizes harvest settings on the go. You don't have to imagine. With features like AFS Harvest Command, an axial flow combine from Case IH always delivers the perfect flow for your operation. Find out how. Talk to your Case IH dealer today.
We started utilizing the Duo React system this year. You can adjust your speed and it automatically adjusts your sprayer tips so you can slow down and you aren't building up huge droplets, or you can speed up and you're not throwing a mist that's drifting.
Hypro, helping you spray better.
How much yield did you lose the moment you planted your seed? Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer tired of seeing yield loss from poor stands, the Germinator gives your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today. We're going to be talking about soybean seed treatments. There's a lot going on farms right now, a lot of soybeans going into the ground. And if you've got questions about soybean seed treatments, you'd like to be part of this discussion, or you've got any other agronomic question, our phone lines will be open all throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. We would love to hear from you today. Start our show off here. We've got AJ Holman with us right now with Bayer. AJ, we're talking soybean seed treatments, so definitely you're at the top of our list here. So you got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's hear what you got.
Hey, well, very good, Darren. Appreciate you guys having me on the call. And yeah, like you said, I mean, seed treatments is kind of my baby. I take a lot of pride in it. And so obviously I represent Bayer Seed Growth and our soybean seed treatments, specifically within Acceleron. And so one of the things that we talk about a lot when it comes to seed treatments is really no two seasons are exactly alike, right? I mean, you can't predict what this season has in store, what next season has in store, but you can try as best as you possibly can to prepare for it. And so one of the things that we talk about with Acceleron, you know, farmers can simply rise above those unpredictable agronomic threats such as disease, insects, even nematode pressure, and then moisture or nutrient stress. And so our portfolio offers a pretty comprehensive package of synthetic chemistry and bioenhancer seed treatment products. And, you know, I use this bioenhancer term quite often, but what I'm referring to is what a lot of growers might refer to as inoculants. And so we've got really the whole complete package when it comes to seed treatments. You know, fungicides and insecticides, they've been widely used among farmers for a number of years now, but farmers are beginning more and more to adopt those nematicides and those bioenhancer seed treatments. And so with the Acceleron seed treatment portfolio, you are covered on all different components when it comes to seed treatment today.
You know, this is another one of those years, AJ, where we hear growers talking about, all right, I got to be really smart with every dollar I spend out there because prices are not great. And I always look at it this way. If we don't get our crop off to a great start, we're going to have issues. And when we think about these seed treatment investments, it's not just, well, let's protect the seed until it gets out of the ground. You're seeing some protection that lasts a month or maybe even a couple of months into the season. That's a big, big deal for these crops.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, really the main purpose of seed treatment from my perspective is to really protect and enhance the major investment that is seed today. And when that seed is most susceptible to different disease and insects is right there at the early going, the moment it comes out of the bag and goes into the soil. And so having a good quality seed treatment to protect and enhance that seed's development is vital. And again, not just while it's in the soil or beneath the soil surface, but really, I mean, all the way up to 30 days out, ensuring that it gets off to a good, healthy stand and at the end of the day maximizes its yield potential.
We've had a lot of questions around the mycorrhizal fungi and rhizobia inoculants this year. A lot of guys looking at, you know, I had saturated soils last year. I'm really concerned about my soil health and all the microbes that live in my soil. I need to replenish that by adding some on this year. Talk to us about that microbial component of the seed treatment. We're just hearing so many questions about it this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at fields that maybe haven't been planted in soybeans for a while, well, we're all fully aware of a lot of the flooding and saturation that a lot of the U.S. saw this past season. And so replenishing that microbial activity underneath the soil can really help ensure that your soybeans get off to a good start and especially start the nodulation process, which, again, is so important to soybean development. I mean, one of the really unique things within Acceleron when it comes to biologicals and, again, what we refer to as bioenhancers is we are actually combining an LCO signal molecule with rhizobia. So that LCO combined with the rhizobia can really help increase that mycorrhizal colonization, can help that soybean plant reach out to additional nutrients and moisture there in the soil, as well as just really helping jumpstart the nodulation process. So that's one of the things that's unique to Acceleron and can be found in products that a lot of your growers might be familiar with, such as Optimize XC or Tag Team LCO XC.
A lot of things going on in the seed treatment world. AJ Holman, great to have you on the show again. Thank you so much, and good luck. You're heading into the spring.
Darren, thanks. Thank you.
Let's head out to talk to Dare McDuffie here with Valent. Dare, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You know, we just got into some of the microbial things going on here in our seed treatments today. I wonder if you'd touch on that just a little bit, and also what are some of the things we should look for out of Valent?
Sure. I think, you know, as our knowledge of what's going on underground grows, we realize we're not just targeting, you know, these four or five diseases we always talk about. We're entering into a soil microbial community. So we want to manage the bad actors while we accentuate the good actors. And that can be very troublesome. I mean, we've developed mycorrhizal fungi products, and we're literally putting fungi on the seed with fungicide, which sounds sort of crazy, but if you get the right ones together, it's definitely something you can do. But today, I think something that's pretty important to us and we keep bringing up is soybean cyst nematode and its management.
You know, that is a big deal. And for growers that are looking at this, it's a problem because it's spotty as you go through fields. And most growers would say, well, I've got them in every field. What can I actually do about them? Because we don't really have a whole lot of different resistant bean traits to choose from.
That's right. I mean, that's one. I was going to bring up two problems, and you hit the first one on the head, and that is resistance. You know, the main source of genetic resistance is the foundation of our fight against this pest. It's the most important aspect. But certain SCN races are beginning to be able to reproduce on that. They're reproducing at a lower rate. It's still doing its job. It just might not be working at the level that you expected it to. One of the other issues I was going to bring up is that you can lose 15, 20, 30% of your yield without really seeing any symptoms. And if you think about, you know, losing 30% of your yield without sitting, seeing any symptoms, that would be like waiting until your first planting day, sitting on your hands for a month. That would about lose 30% of yield potential, and then planting. And I can't think of a single farmer that would ever want to do that.
Not a chance. That would never happen. But you're right. I've been in some really extreme situations with nematodes where growers are seeing stunted or even dead plants and a lot of symptomology out there above ground and below. But I've also been in fields where growers have said, you know, I really thought I was going to get 60 bushel beans and I got 45 or I got 50 and I don't know what happened out there, or I can see it on my yield monitor. I'm cruising along at 60 and all of a sudden I've got 30. What happened in those spots? And we do find it to be nematodes in many cases. So when we look at this, Dare, what are the solutions that we've got? Because obviously there isn't just a, well, you only do one thing and you don't need a resistant bean and you don't need any other management. There's a lot of different steps to this to get it under control.
Yeah, when you combine our lack of ability to see this and the fact that something that worked so well in the past is starting to show a couple cracks, that's why a lot of people are looking at seed-applied nematicides like Avayo EZ nematicide from Valent USA. And what you get with Avayo EZ is very quick colonization. It's a biological product, super low use rate, so it's not going to change anything you're doing in your operation as far as treating and when you get your seed, how it plants. And with that, you're going to reduce the reproduction of those SCN in low counts. But really, even in high counts, it gives that plant the opportunity to thrive, which is what you really need.
Yeah, it's been a nice product to work with. We've used Avayo too, and it's been one that mixes easy. The safety profile is significantly better than some of the options out there. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Certainly. I mean, it goes on at about 0.1 fluid ounce per unit, so you really aren't changing the speed at which you're treating, how it's going to plant. It is a standalone product, so if you're super happy with the rest of your fungicide insecticide system, you can add Avayo to that, or you can combine it with our other product, Intego Sweet Soybeans, if you're looking for complete insect, disease, and nematode control.
Talking with Dare McDuffie with Valent. And Dare, you bring up a great point. We want to talk about nematodes as we're getting into the soybean seed discussion. Thanks for bringing that up today. Thanks for the information and good luck heading into the spring.
Thank you very much. Talk to you.
You know, when you think about seed treatment, Brian, this is one of the things about it. There are so many different components. You mentioned a few of these as we started the show off. We get talking about the fungicide piece a lot, but we can't forget about some of these other components as well. We're talking soybean seed treatments on the show today. You can also call with your agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you, to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
Before it's too late and white mold becomes a problem, you need to ask your seed dealer for Heads Up seed treatment. When raising soybeans in the Midwest, you know the risk of being caught unprepared. As heard on AgPHD, there are several steps you can take prior to planting for a successful management plan against white mold. Compatible and cost-effective, season-long protection starts now by asking your seed dealer to apply Heads Up to your 2020 bean seed order. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. We're talking about soybean seed treatments. There's a lot of different products out there to consider and a lot of combinations that you may be interested in using for your farm. We talked a little bit about some of the fungicide things, some of the bioenhancers or natural type products. And we also got into the soybean cyst nematode a little bit. We didn't talk about sudden death syndrome yet. We get a lot of questions about that. We've got Troy Bauer with us right now with BASF. Troy, thanks for joining us.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing well, but we're putting soybeans in super early compared to normal, at least in parts of the country. And that makes me a little bit concerned about sudden death syndrome and some of the things that we could have to face.
Absolutely. The good news about sudden death syndrome is we actually have a soybean seed treatment that does a fantastic job in the marketplace, and it's a proven product that's been out there for a couple of years called Olivo seed treatment. And obviously you guys are looking at the rapid pace of corn planting out there, and many growers, after they finish their corn crop, are moving right into soybeans, or some of them even start with soybeans at this point in time. And with that early planting of soybeans, SDS certainly is a pest that rears its ugly head. And Olivo is a product that will help protect against SDS and protect those higher yield potentials that we do get oftentimes from planting our soybeans at an earlier date.
You You know, like everything else that we do agronomically, we try to make sure we've got at least a couple different things out there trying to help us in the field. So we look for soybean varieties with good tolerance to SDS, and that definitely helps. And then adding a seed treatment on like Olivo is a good way to give yourself some more protection. Now, Troy, when we look at this, I think one of the things as a grower, I remember when we first started talking about SDS, I was like, how can this be something that happens so early in the season when I don't see the foliar symptoms till later? Can you talk about that just a little bit, how that works?
Yeah, SDS is a really interesting disease. It actually starts with infection from a fungus called Fusarium virgiliforme very early in the season. And typically, what causes those symptoms that we see later in the season is that early season infection, and then it produces a toxin in the soil. And I guess my lay person experience would say when we get those late season rains, that those rains will then go into the soil and flush that toxin into the plant. And that toxin moving up through the vascular system of the plant is what causes the SDS symptoms that we see. The good news is that Olivo actually will help protect against that fungus, Fusarium virgiliforme. It's one of the very few products in the marketplace that does, and it's proven to bring back, our data would say, 4.6 bushel per acre year over year with hundreds and hundreds of trials that we've conducted with that product.
Now, one thing with Olivo, Troy, when growers talk to dealers, they get the pitch about, you know what, there's a couple different use rates here. Which one would you like to go with? Well, I mean, obviously, using the cheaper option always sounds good. What do you get with Olivo and at these various rates? I know you've got protection for nematodes. I know you've got protection against SDS. Where is that cutoff line for each one?
Yeah, growers really need to dig into the issues that they have in their specific field. And if they've had sudden death syndrome present in their field, they probably will have that pathogen present in the field forever. Soybean cyst nematode is a pest in the soil that we can try to manage populations with. And but typically, once it's present in the field, it's there as well. If you believe you have soybean cyst nematode without any sudden death syndrome, typically growers that haven't been producing soybeans for very many years, they can go to an Olivo use rate of 0.6 fluid ounces per 140K unit. And if they have both SDS and soybean cyst nematode, we would recommend the 1.18 fluid ounce rate for use. And the unique thing about Olivo is it's actually engineered to have great activity on both of those pests.
Talking to Troy Bauer with BASF about a couple really challenging issues out there in soybean fields that we can deal with at planting time. You need to pay attention to that. Troy, thanks for the information. Really appreciate it today.
Yes, thanks so much. You have a great day.
Bet. You as well.
Hey, when we're talking about these seed treatments, one of the things we hadn't mentioned today is, so we were just talking there about sudden death syndrome, but I wanted to talk about another disease, Sclerotinia white mold. It's the worst disease you can get in soybeans. We don't have any perfect answers for it, so you need several different things out there to reduce your issues. And I've had several questions here just in the last couple of weeks, especially from agronomists who've called me and said, what do you think of Heads Up? Well, we've done research on that at Ag PhD, and I don't have any problem with Heads Up. It's just if you think that you're going to gain 30 bushels because you put Heads Up on the seed, good luck. What our research has found is a lot of times when we have white mold, we're gaining 3 to 5 bushels. Now, that may not sound like much, especially if you did lose 30 bushels to white mold last year. And believe me, we've had spots that have been much worse than that on our farm. But I will just tell you, hey, if you're going to invest $3 an acre, and you know, if you feel like you're fairly likely to get white mold, and you get a 3-bushel response, well, that's a tremendous return on investment. So that's something where we would tell you, hey, especially number one, if you've had a history of white mold, number two, if you've got a more susceptible variety, and number three, if you say, all right, it's especially in these certain areas on my farm, let's say it's low grounds or whatever, I mean, then it to me, that makes a lot of sense. I would also say, so we were talking about Olivo just a little bit there, the other thing that Olivo can help you with is SCN. When you start talking soybean cyst nematode, there's Olivo, there's Saltro, there's also Clariva, there is Votivo. I mean, there are a lot of different options out there to reduce the SCN issues. One of the problems we have with SCN, it's a little bit like white mold in that it's not going to be everywhere in the field. You might have hot spots. So like on our farm, we've got a two variety planter. If we were worried about it, we could treat the beans that are going to go in that in those areas, and in the other areas, we plant a variety that's not treated. You could do the same thing with sudden death syndrome if you wanted to. You've got Olivo, you've got Saltro, even Heads Up has a little activity on sudden death syndrome. Yeah, it's not going to be as good as Olivo or Saltro, but at least it'll give you something. So what I'm getting at here is, yep, I talked earlier in the show about you've got standard fungicides. That's great. You've got the one insecticide you can use. We recommend that almost all the time. It's cheap, works really well. We want you to use some naturals, inoculant and other natural products or biologicals, plant growth hormones, whatever. Some of those things can really pay, and you don't have to invest many dollars. At least try some of those things. But then on top of that, there's sudden death syndrome, soybean cyst nematode, and sclerotinia white mold. So for those particular issues, there are other treatments you can use. Now, I'll throw one last thing out here. When we talk about soybean seed treatment, this isn't a soybean seed treatment, but you're going to do it at planting time. That's the best time if you've had an iron deficiency chlorosis issue on your farm. Now, I don't know if this year is going to be a bad year for IDC or not, but I do know this. If your soil pH is above 7, you are very likely at some point to have iron deficiency chlorosis in your soybeans. Basically, the iron isn't in the right form. It's going to be in the ferrous form when your pH is below 7. When you get above 7, that ferrous good iron form can turn to ferric iron, and now you've got a problem. Now it's not going to be available in the plant. It might even show up in your plant tissue analysis, but it's not working for your plant. So at planting time, that's when you would want to put down iron. Use an iron chelate at planting time. Something like Soygreen, for example, works out quite well. And I know it costs some money. It costs quite a bit, in fact. You might spend $20 or $30 an acre. But if you've had an IDC problem in the past, you know how bad that can be. And here again, just like SDS, SCN, white mold, it's probably only in certain spots. And you can look at your soil test and figure out where you're most likely to have this iron deficiency chlorosis issue and just have a prescription map all set so your pump is turning on in those areas, turning off in the areas where you're not so worried about it. So you don't spend that big time dollar amount on every acre of the farm.
We're going to dive into the Ag PhD mailbag, some of your agronomic questions that have been coming in. Or you can give us a call as well at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutec's EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutec's EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutec's EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds.
Vellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG.
We interrupt this message for an important announcement. In these uncertain times, many farmers are looking to prolong their grain storage. That's why Farm Shop MFG is offering a $12.50 credit per germinator towards the purchase of a Grain Temp Guard Alarm DT, up to $200 per unit. Protect last year's crop and start 2020 off right. Go to farmshopmfg.com to order today.
Hey everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or your emails at radio@agphd.com. Going from Caleb here, he sent us a corn plant tissue sample. And he said, I got a tissue sample for you guys to look at. This is V6 corn, roughly 470 GDUs after planting. I know Brian's going to be excited to see the evidence of our potassium build program. Check out the base saturation there. In all my tissue samples so far this year, I have been a bit lower in magnesium. And this field in particular had 250 pounds of K-Mag broadcast with our pre-plant fertilizer, as well as some variable rate dolomitic lime. So we've got quite a bit of applied magnesium out there. And I've heard you may see lower magnesium in the plant if you've got higher nitrogen or higher potassium. Just wondering if that's true and what I could do to raise my magnesium levels. Perhaps I could band some with my nitrogen in another week or two if that would work.
Yep. So this is one of the big challenges out there is we have absolutely found that to be true, where if you bump your K, well, all of a sudden your magnesium goes down. We know we need the K for sure. So what are you going to do for the magnesium? Well, let's put it this way. First of all, we're dealing here with a 4 cation exchange capacity. That's what his test says. 4 CECs. That's pure sand. In pure sand, you're almost always short on magnesium. You just have to keep pumping it out there. His test isn't terrible. It's 10.7% magnesium. The hydrogen is really high, and the reason why is because the pH is a little on the low side. So, I mean, just literally getting a little bit of lime out there and raising that pH just a little bit. You don't have to go nuts. You're at 5.8 pH and a light soil. It's only going to take a tiny little bit of lime, and you'll be in good shape. Darren, what else did we have for questions here? What else do you want to talk about here?
Well, the big thing was just the magnesium. He was just concerned. That was the only thing that looked like it was really short on his test. You know, the other thing I would say, Caleb, is you'll notice those tests may vary a little bit each week as you go through the season. So
definitely,
it'd be interesting to see if you're seeing a trend there, if this is just a one-time deal. And if you just put stuff on at planting, I know you're in an irrigated situation. Maybe all the mag hasn't gotten to where it needs to get to yet either.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Do we actually know when they say, oh, it's a little bit low, that it actually is low? I don't think we do. And here's why. Because you just ask your lab, and I could be wrong, but almost every lab out there, what they do when they tell you you're low, sufficient, or high in terms of plant tissue analysis is they just take all the samples that have come in and average them together. Well, if you're doing that and everybody's got a potassium shortage and they're long on magnesium, well, then it could be ridiculously misleading. I really don't know. So if you want, though, you can do a little foliar feeding with magnesium. You could side dress a little magnesium. I mean, you've got sandy soil. You're probably going to need magnesium anyway. So I do think it would be a good idea to get some out there. And then just run some trials and just see what you get for a response. But yeah, in sand, I'd be shocked if applying some more magnesium wouldn't help you at least a little bit, but just try it on a small scale and see what you learn.
Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that, Caleb. Good luck to you as well. Got this from Mohan, who says, I'm wondering about fall armyworm control in corn. What are some of the insecticides that you use, and what's the best way to get this thing under control?
Almost any insecticide will work. Personally, I would go with a cheap pyrethroid, cost $2.
So something like a Lambda cyhalothrin would be an example.
Yep, Mustang also, Max, Warrior, Asana, whatever. I mean, almost any of them will work just fine.
So you could also use bifenthrin. You could use chlorpyrifos. There's several different chemistries that would work there. And,
yes.
You know, the big thing is to catch it when there's egg masses before it really takes over in your field, if that's at all possible, late season corn control. The other thing is, and I'm not sure what country you're farming in, if BT traits are available. There are some BT traits that do a pretty decent job on fall armyworm as well. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. I get a series of questions here, Brian. This is from Lucas. He said, my wife's family has their family homestead in northeast Nebraska, and we are not living on the farm and just weekend farming it. He said, I've got some knowledge. I'm mainly an equipment mechanic, but my farming knowledge may be a little bit old. He said, we've broken 35 acres of some hilly ground from pasture and native grass, and we've had a couple disappointing years, mainly due to lack of attention and investment. But we're getting good conditions to plant now. We've got a planter that's fixed up, ready to go. I'm wondering about herbicide. I want to control some grass. In the past, we have used some atrazine. Is grass control important before planting?
Yes.
Or is it important that we get it afterwards? We can spray Roundup later.
And also, yes. So, yeah, grass control is ridiculously important for corn, and I assume that's the crop we're talking about. I don't think
corn.
You said. But anyway, yeah, what I would use is I would go out there with a Group 15 herbicide. So that's Harness, Surpass, Outlook, Dual, Zidua, one of those. And on our farm, where we don't have tremendously high weed pressure, we're using about a 2/3 rate, let's call it. And then we follow up post-emerge with a little more Group 15 and HPPD and some Roundup, and that works great. So it doesn't cost a whole lot of money, and then we have good control.
All right. The other question he had herbicide related is, he said, wondering if 2,4-D is safe to use at all before or after emergence.
Nope, it's not. Dicamba would be, but not 2,4-D. Not with corn. Nope.
All right. Now, fertility question. He said the salesman that we're working with at our fertilizer dealer recommended 100 pounds per acre of MAP pre-plant on 158 bushel yield goal. I'm wondering if we could also blend in 60 pounds per acre worth of urea, figuring we'll add some more nitrogen on later. Any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's just put it this way. Anytime you're blending anything, you got to make sure that it doesn't settle out. So you just talk to your dealer, and it either has to get spread separately, or like on our farm, we got a floater where we have three compartments. I can have MAP in one, I can have urea in the other, and then I can vary it as we go across the field. But to make any recommendation to you without seeing your soil test, I think would be not fair to you. So I don't know if those rates are going to be good for you or not. I will just say, you know, if you're talking 150, 160 bushel corn, obviously you need a lot more total nitrogen than 60 pounds.
Yeah, they're going to put another 100 pounds on later. And here's the thing I was thinking about.
But is that 60 pounds of N in urea, or is that 60 pounds of urea? Because urea is only 46%.
Yeah, so let's just say that it's 60 pounds of actual N there, and he's going to put 100 pounds of actual N on in his side dress. That's 160 total.
Yep.
This is ground that's coming out of pasture and native grasses.
Yeah, but it's been a couple years ago. You know,
so
if it was year
been
one.
Enough residue breakdown that you'll be
yes,
okay?
Yes, yes. But when you're year one coming out of pasture, you got to figure at least an extra 50 pounds, maybe even 100. There's going to be so much organic matter that needs to break down, that it's going to tie up a lot of nitrogen. Your carbon to nitrogen ratio is going to be out of whack. So, but, you know, by now, a couple years later, I would think he'd be fine.
All right. Last question he had. Anything else on a shoestring budget that we could do? He said, I'd like to get at least 150 bushel this year so we actually make some money.
Yep.
And then we could push for a couple hundred bushel next year.
Yep. So the number one thing I would tell you is he said it's hilly ground, so I'm going to assume we don't have a drainage issue. So that moves me to number two, which is fertilizer. So soil tests. Even if you say, well, I'm already doing some stuff, I got a plant right now, whatever, I'd still soil test. I'd still like to know. Let's find out where we're at, because there might be something that's glaring that we could fix in season. Maybe it's sulfur. Maybe it's boron. I mean, I don't know what it is, but without information and all we're doing is guessing, that's tough.
Yep, I agree. I'd invest... it's only going to take a few hundred dollars in soil testing to figure out what you need, and that'll help you determine what's going to give you your best return on investment as you start applying more fertilizer to the ground. And, you know, even if it's only 35 acres, when that fertilizer dealer is putting fertility out there for you, they can definitely use variable rate technology as needed to spread more fertilizer where you need it and less where you don't.
Yep.
Thanks for the question, Lucas. Really appreciate that. If you have more questions that come up as you get going on this venture, be sure to reach out to us. We'd love to help you. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, and we're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time. We'll get back to more of your questions coming up after this.
Hey, Adam, new drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic insecticides from Atticus LLC. Unwanted insects are a nuisance, but they're no match for Serpent from Atticus. Serpent delivers economical, fast-acting, broad-spectrum control to help your corn, soybeans, and wheat crops thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit AtticusLLC.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG.
We interrupt this message for an important announcement. In these uncertain times, many farmers are looking to prolong their grain storage. That's why Farm Shop MFG is offering a $12.50 credit per germinator towards the purchase of a Grain Temp Guard Alarm DT, up to $200 per unit. Protect last year's crop and start 2020 off right. Go to farmshopmfg.com to order today.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Going from Neri here, who said, your weed of the week was henbit this week, but in northern Indiana where I'm at, henbit is mostly a lawn weed. Here in Indiana, we've got purple dead nettle that blooms late in August. Looks pretty similar. I'm sure you guys know the difference between the two. I think that purple dead nettle should be your weed of the week going forward. Hey, thanks. We really appreciate that,
Neri. Have we done that at some point?
It seems like we have, but maybe we haven't. We'll certainly add that to the list. You know, when you look at those two weeds, they both do have square stems, and they look pretty similar out there. One thing that's interesting, though, is henbit doesn't have petioles. So from the end of the leaf, there's a little like stem that attaches down to the main stem of the plant. Henbit doesn't have that. With purple dead nettle, it does. It's got kind of some shorter petioles up top and some longer ones down low. Both are winter annual weeds. So you mentioned that henbit is a lawn weed. We do get some questions about purple dead nettle in lawns. There are a couple of active ingredients that we use in crop fields that also work pretty well in lawn situations. So Authority, for example, which you can use in soybeans and a bunch of other crops as a pre-emerge that has a little burn down. The active ingredient sulfentrazone in a lawn product, you can find that in Tenacity. Callisto would be another one that gets used a lot on corn acres. It's a great broadleaf product. The active ingredient's mesotrione, and the lawn product is Echelon. So there's another name too, Brian.
Yes.
What's the other one? I don't remember, but look for mesotrione. That's another good one that you'll see in a lot of the lawn products. So yeah, we can certainly get purple dead nettle under control, get a lot of options. And then again, as a winter annual, the best time of year to get it is in the fall. And I realize we're in the spring, and that's terrible
to
say.
Wait, what did you say was Tenacity? That's mesotrione.
Oh, to have that backwards?
Yeah, I don't know. Sulfentrazone for lawns? There is a sulfentrazone for lawns?
I thought so. I could be wrong on that. I don't think it was the one that would attack the perennial grasses, but that's something to look at. No, you could do that for residential athletic field sod farms. So you could do that.
Do what?
Use sulfentrazone.
Yeah, I know. What's the name of the product?
Echelon, I thought.
Oh, okay. So you just...
I had that backwards.
Yes.
You sure okay.
Did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I'm like, wait a second. Isn't Tenacity the mesotrione? Yes,
correct.
It is.
Correct. Okay. So I had that backwards. So anyway, yeah, it was a couple products for lawns. The same active ingredients could be used in crop fields as well. And try to get stuff done in the fall if you can. You can also use 2,4-D. You can use dicamba out in crop fields. Just have to look at what you're rotating to and so forth. Thanks for the feedback. Really appreciate that, Neri. We'll add that one to the list of Weed of the Week candidates here going forward. Got a question from Luke, and he said, I recently picked up some ground that's been in continuous wheat for 100 years. And I heard you talk a lot about the importance of potassium-based saturation. This farm has a CEC of 16 to 22 and a base saturation K between 4 and 5% with parts per million K 250 to 350. The previous farmer said he never once added K in the last 50 years on this farm. My question is, will adding crop removal K pay on this field, or does it have so much naturally that it will never pay? The wheat yields have been pretty good on this farm in northern Oklahoma.
Well, I would just say this. We got to look at everything on that soil test to tell you whether more K would pay or not. I doubt it, just given the information that you have. When you're already at 4 to 5% K, you hopefully are going to be at a pretty good level. But like I say, if everything else is off the charts, let's say phosphorus is, sulfur, nitrogen, boron, copper, manganese, zinc, iron, molybdenum, you know, the whole list. If everything else is at a ridiculously high level, it's possible that adding some more K would help, but I don't think you're going to gain a whole lot, most likely. So if you want to send us your soil test, we could certainly look at that. And, you know, there's another way to find out, too. You just put a little K on in some areas and see if you get some yield gain.
And here's the other thing is if your K is in a pretty good spot, chances are it's not your yield limiting factor right now. And you might want to like Brian said, look at that complete soil analysis or even do some plant tissue testing to see what is the yield limiting factor. And let's focus our first investments on that. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that, Luke. Got one from Chris here. He said, I've heard you guys talk about a product that you're using to remove chlorine from your spray water. I'm wondering what the name of that product is. Thanks for the question, Chris. We're using a product called BioPrep. So Bio-Prep. That's been one that turns that chlorine into chloride.
Yeah, so it's really not removing it.
And this is one of the things that we see in the water treatment industry is a lot of times when you're taking things out of water, what are you going to do with that waste product? And that can be an environmental issue. So rather than removing the chlorine, it's just turning it into chloride. That's a usable nutrient by the plant. So you don't have to take anything out of the tank and it sprays out just fine. It doesn't hurt anything. So that's why we're using BioPrep. It's cheap, it's easy to use, and it's really pretty effective in our experience. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. Got one here from Gilbert, who said, I've heard you talk about scouring rush before. We've got some small areas that tend to be in the damp, wet areas, but they do seem to be expanding slowly. Just wondering if you feel this would be a major yield reducer and if you had ideas for control. I'm in Indiana.
Well, it can be a major yield reducer. And he said the key thing there, it's in the low damp areas. Well, how about we fix the damp? If you fix the damp part, then usually the problem starts to go away. So this would be considered a cultural practice. We want to get rid of the water, the excess water, get the water table down. You start raising a better crop there, and the better crop will choke it out naturally. So that's the best way to go. In addition to that, I would just tell you what we've always had the best luck with is Gramoxone. Now, there are some people that will claim that, let's see, what did you like, Darren? Harmony? First Rates had some activity, but I don't believe in any of those things. I like Gramoxone, and that's basically before planting, or I should say before emergence, and then at the end of the season. But the scouring rush, it's a perennial, and it's gonna move. So when you do tillage, you're just going to spread it around.
Yeah, if we can fix that environment so it doesn't have a competitive advantage, that's the biggest thing. So yeah, I agree. The cultural practice of just improving drainage, that's your best bet for long-term control of
that.
But
wasn't it Harmony or something you were saying the other
day?
Yeah, the old Pinnacle.
Yeah. So, yep. All right. Thanks for the question, Gilbert. Really appreciate that. This one comes from Andrew. He said, do you think it would be beneficial to apply foliar fertilizer while I am cultivating my soybeans, or would it be better to wait until later in the season, like after flowering or during pod fill?
Most likely after flowering. The other thing is when you say, well, you're cultivating, our number one concern there would be you're kicking up a bunch of dust and you're going to have issues with that fertilizer getting into the leaf of the plant. So I would really doubt that doing those at the same time is going to work very well for you. Now, if you want to inject some fertilizer when you're cultivating, that could work. But foliar feeding, no, I wouldn't do it at the same time.
All right, thanks for the question. Got this from Cameron in Nebraska. He said, I've got some hay ground with conventional alfalfa, and I've got field pennycress issues. I'm looking for some herbicide options that would control the field pennycress and also hopefully help me with some grass control. Most of the info that I'm finding mainly pertains to Roundup Ready alfalfa. I'm just kind of curious on the conventional. Thanks, Cameron. We really appreciate that. Yeah, field pennycress, definitely an issue early in the spring. A lot of times that's going to get a start in the fall, too. So you can get out there with a late season treatment. Also, sometimes that helps. I personally like using Pursuit or Raptor. I've had pretty good luck with that over the years. They do have a little bit of control on grass. If the field pennycress is your biggest issue right off the bat, I'd go ahead and use that for your first cutting because I just hate the smell of field pennycress, and I can only imagine baling it up in hay is not a good deal. And then you can always come back later for grass control with something like Clethodim, or there's several options you could use in conventional alfalfa.
Okay, I would also say in the pennycress, don't forget Buctrol is great, and Buctrol's cheap. So, yeah, it's either Raptor, that's an ALS, or you can do Buctrol. That is not an ALS. Buctrol is a real contact killer, too. So you need to use a fair amount of water. Usually we talk about 15 to 20 gallons of water, lots of spray pressure, and there you go.
Okay, thanks for the question, Cameron. One more. This is from Steve. He said, can I mix my burndown chemicals with the 3 pre-program for soybeans? I'd like to use Roundup and 2,4-D.
I hope they're Enlist beans. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you, don't even dream about putting 2,4-D with it. But If it's Enlist beans, that's fine. Otherwise, use Germoxone in place of the 2,4-D. Or, I mean, there are other products that could be used too, Liberty and a bunch of different ones. But yes, you can mix Burn Down with the 3-Prees.
Thanks for the question, Steve. And thanks to you for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.